You ever find yourself feeling like you're a bad example? You ever feel that? I'm not talking about being a bad example because of some sin, because our hearts are corrupted or because our hearts have been perverted by the ways of the world. But instead, I'm talking about being a bad example because perhaps at times we don't show the genuine example that we ought to be showing. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a church setting, and you're probably the same way, but how many times I've been in a church setting and talked about being good examples. I remember growing up hearing, be a good example. Be a good example as a friend. Be a good example as a student. Be a good example as a worker. Be a good example as a college student. Be a good example as a husband or a wife. Be a good example as a parent. Be a good example as a grandparent. Be a good example as a person in our community. Be a good example as someone in this nation, in this world. And we could go on and on and on. And sometimes I wonder if we sort of paint a picture of being an example as being someone who has it all together. That all the pieces of the puzzles of this life have been fit together in just the perfect way, and now it's being portrayed in my life because I'm a child of God. Look at me. I've got it right. You know, Paul was able to say, follow me as an example, as I follow Christ. Now, I don't want to put myself in the shoes of the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure you don't either. We strive for that, but I don't think we're there. But maybe we've created this unreal expectation for what an example is. And so as we step out into the world, we never show ourselves as being genuine. There's this facade that we put on top of us, shielding everyone from who we really are deep down inside. Now Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. That's one of those go-to verses when we think about being an example. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, let your light so shine. Now, what's that light that's within us? What's that light that shines? Well, if we're God's children, if we are His Christians, then the light that's shining within us is not something of our own doing. It's not something of our own will. It is Christ that is shining within us. And if we've set up this facade, if we've set up this shield, this shelter around us that tells the world that we've got all the pieces put together, that we are perfection, then we're actually keeping that light from shining through. We're keeping Jesus' light from shining out into the world. God didn't call us to wear the name perfection. He didn't say, James Malone, because you're my child, because you were immersed and had your sins washed away, because you've been raised to walk in newness of life, because you read and because you study your Bible, because you preach to people, you wear the name perfection. No, God never said that. As a matter of fact, God said, James, you're not going to be perfect. If you say you're perfect, then you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. I don't wear the name perfection. And you don't either. And we shouldn't want to wear the name perfection because people will see right through that. And immediately they'll see us as hypocrites. So what name do we want to wear? I want to wear a name that is perfect, a name that's not my own. I want to wear the name Christian, a name that represents that which is perfect, a name that's been branded upon my life by God Himself. And as people see that perfect name, not only will they be able to see it, but through that filter, they'll be able to see the genuine individual that I am. And I'll admit, I'm the first one to admit, I have struggles. But when I make mistakes, I want to admit them. When I do something wrong to somebody, I want to apologize for it. Whenever I teach about God's truth, I want to do it with compassion and with love and with understanding. I want the light of Jesus within my life to shine and to shine brightly all over this world. And not because I'm creating something that's like a statue, not creating something that's like a monument, but because He is that monument in my life. You know, we get worried. We get tied up with wanting to be a good example. But church, I can tell you something assuredly. If you will wear the name Christian like it's supposed to be worn, then the right example will just naturally follow. Let Jesus shine out from your life. And yes, people will see your good works and they will glorify your Father who's in heaven. We're maybe a little bit like flashlights. We're an instrument in the hand of God so that the light of His Son can shine out into the world. And we're not even the ones who have the energy. We're not the ones who have the power. God supplies that. His light, it's manifested in our actions, in our life. But it's His light. The reason why we now wear the name Christian and not perfection is this: to shine the light of Christ. I want us to look again this morning over in Isaiah chapter 62. This morning we'll focus in on verses 3 and 4. But we've noticed over the past couple of weeks, in the first few lessons of our study through Isaiah 62, in verses 1 and 2, that the name Christian was prophesied of old. Isaiah 62, 1 and 2, God tells us that He would not rest, that He was not going to keep His silence until salvation and righteousness went out like a burning torch. And all the nations would see His righteousness. All the kings would see His glory. And God would give them a new name, a name which the mouth of the Lord would name. And we recognize that through the works of history, through the workings of events and people and people's lives, that God was able to bring together not only Jesus to come into the world, to live, to breathe, to teach, to die, to be buried, and to be resurrected, but then for His apostles to carry that name along. And then eventually, when the entire world would come to accept God's teaching, and God would be willing to accept them as His own children, that the name Christian was branded upon them by God Himself. It was a name that had been planned by God, a name that was provided by God. And we see that name provided in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It was there in Antioch where the disciples were called Christians first. But as we look at verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah chapter 62, we see somewhat of an irony in the name Christian, a perfect name given to an imperfect people. Isaiah prophesied of those who would be recipients of that name. They would be a royal diadem. They would be a royal crown in the hand of the Lord, a crown of beauty, a royal diadem. They'd no longer be called forsaken. They'd no longer be called desolate. They would be called, "My delight is in her land." They would be called married. Now, of course, Isaiah was painting a picture of royalty to begin with. The idea of a crown of beauty and a royal diadem. As if those who would wear that name would be royal subjects. Not that they would be the utmost of kings, but they would be as kings and as priests unto the Lord. They'd no longer be called desolate or forsaken, but they would be considered one with God. They'd be considered one in a relationship with God. That he would look down upon their lives and it would bring a smile to his face. He would find the light in them because they are his special subjects. No longer desolate, but their land would be enriched. Riches would be flowing in their life. Not necessarily riches of monetary value, but of spiritual value, which would represent an eternal covenant that existed between God and that individual. A binding covenant to them. Hosea would say in Hosea chapter 1, when once it was said, you are not my people, now it will be said of them, you are the children of God. Now as we see that God's blessings have been poured out on his precious people, they've received the crown of beauty by being immersed into Jesus Christ. They've put on Christ. They're no longer clothed with the ways of the world, but they're clothed with Christ himself. They've become a holy and a royal priesthood. They're no longer set aside for the world, but God has himself branded them and set them aside for his bidding, for his doing, for his purposes. And that's what it means to be consecrated. We're set aside, we're sanctified for a holy purpose. No longer forsaken, no longer foreigners, but special children unto God. And with a picture like that, is there any other name we would want to wear? Flip over, if you will, to Isaiah 56. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 5. If you think those descriptions are special, I want you to notice with me what Isaiah records. Isaiah 56, verse 5. He says, I will give to those who are within my walls and within my house a name and a place or a monument that is better than sons and daughters. And I will give to them an everlasting name, a name which will never be cut off. Church, is there any other name that we would want to wear? Now, there are some respectable names that we could wear, and we talked about some of them last week. We can wear disciple of Jesus. We can wear follower of Jesus. We can be called a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. We can be called of the way. But if you want to be called by a name that is proper, you want to be called Christian. There's no other name that we should want to wear. There's no other name that we should want to wear than a name that represents us as a child in God's house. A name that's been planted onto us that is as if it's a monument for us. What are monuments for? Otis alluded to this in his comments this morning already, but what are monuments for? They're for remembrance. You look down at this table down here in the front, and what does it say right there on the front of the table? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Whenever we come together on a Sunday morning, we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Jesus says, you do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do it, you're doing it in remembrance of me. And it's a very special memorial. But do you realize that every single day we wear a memorial on our lives? If we are his children, we wear the memorial of the name Christian. It's a monument. It's a testament, not just of our allegiance to his word and his ways, but his allegiance to us, that he is our God. When once it was said that we are forsaken and desolate, now he says, you are my child. What other name would we want to wear than a name that's better than sons and daughters? How many times do we read through the Bible that we are the children of God? If we're Christians, then we are a child of God. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God, or you're a daughter of God. You're a child of God. But Isaiah says the name that God would be giving would be a name that's better than son of God, better than daughter of God. That's beyond our comprehension. The Bible tells us to be victorious. The Bible tells us to be conquerors. But it also tells us now we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that loves us. And we are more than sons and daughters unto God. I'm a Christian. You're more than a son or a daughter to God. And that image, that idea gives us a very beautiful picture of the relationship that exists between us and our God. And to consider ourselves as brothers with Jesus Christ himself and fellow heirs of the inheritance, the family picture, it's beautiful. But Isaiah says the name that would be given would be branded upon you so that you would be even better than children, better than sons and daughter. What other name would you want to wear than one that is as eternal as God is? The plan of God to present that name was in the mind of God before the world even began. And the name that he gives to every child that is immersed in his name and rises up to walk in newness of life. And he brands them with that name. It's a name that's eternal. It's not a name that will be cut off whenever they go into the grave, but it will last with them, with us, forever. God would give a name, an everlasting name, that would never be cut off. Now, can you tell me, is there any other name you would want to wear other than the name Christian? Now, it's ironic. When we think about the prestigiousness of the name that God has planned, of the name that God has provided, and he continues to provide for his people, as perfect as that name is, it was gifted to us, an imperfect people. People who aren't always going to get it right. People who aren't always going to have the pieces of the puzzles of this life put together in just the right way. And God will continue to encourage us. He will continue to encourage us to wear that name proudly, to wear the name of his Son boldly. Not to wear the name perfection, but to be encouraged that we wear the name Christian, so that the light of his Son would shine through our lives. And people would see us as genuine individuals who are striving to be the best that we can be, so that one day, through God's grace, we will experience the best there's ever been. I asked at the beginning of this lesson this morning, if you ever feel like you're just not a good example, that you're a bad example, how many of you have ever done any acting? You can raise your hand. It's okay. A few of you, a handful. Maybe you were in a drama club at school. Maybe you performed in a few plays growing up. And we might think that it's fun sometimes to get into a completely different role, a completely different character, to be something that we're not. You know, one of the things I love about childhood, one of the things I love about children, is seeing them step outside of their role, to use their imaginations and to be something else. No matter what it is, maybe they are pretending to be some animal, or maybe they're dressing up like a superhero. Now, I was reading an article last week about actors and superheroes and their costumes, and it might surprise you to learn that the actors who play the superheroes, almost universally, they agree that there is nothing better than getting out of that costume. There's nothing better than removing that mask. They're hot, they're uncomfortable, they're inconvenient. There was nothing they looked forward to more than getting out of that costume to return to being themselves. The costumes wear them out. How many of us may be worn out from wearing a mask? I would imagine that if there are any persons here today who are struggling with their Christian life, struggling with their faith, more than likely the problem is they're worn out. Trying to be something that they're not. They've been wearing a mask for too long. And for just once, they'd like to be honest with themselves. And they'd like to be honest with the people who are around them. Now, this isn't permission or telling you to just run out and do whatever's been on your mind. That's not what I'm saying. Instead of just continuing to wear this mask to Instead of just continuing to wear this costume, rather than trying to just be beautiful on the outside, instead let Christ reign from the inside. And let His light shine. Don't let it be blocked by some shield or some facade. And truly be encouraged to wear the name Christian. This morning, if there's a mask that you've been trying to get off, we want to encourage you. We want you to be a good example. We want it to be an example that flows because you are a Christian. If you see there's something, some idea or some facade of perfection that needs to be taken away, that needs to be removed so that God can look down on your life and truly shine through, if you see that there are sins in your life, that you don't have to pore over every sin. We're not asking you to air your dirty laundry in front of everybody. We're asking just be yourself. And lean upon us as your fellow Christians. Lean upon God for His salvation. If we can help you this morning, we hope that you'll come as we stand and sing together.